Well, we're in Romans chapter 8, and we're going to pick up this morning from where we left off. Last time, you'll remember, we preached on verse 13, the Spirit of God killing the deeds of the body, killing the sin that is in our lives, knowing that it will bring forth life, not just eternal life we have through Jesus Christ our Lord, but God wants us to have life on earth. Life, abundant life, victorious life. Why here? It's not God's will that we live defeated lives here. It's a battle, though. Would you say amen? It's a battle. Amen. I agree with you. It is a battle, but it's a battle worth fighting. And praise God, I realize that I'm looking at a group of people that I believe is sincere and serious about fighting that battle and letting the Lord use you. And what Paul is doing here with his church and what he's done through by the power of the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul's writing us in chapter 8 how we can live victoriously through the power of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that in the first few verses, how the Spirit of God moved in and He is taken over and He is to be yielded to and He will produce the spiritual mind. You'll remember that phrase that is used in verse 2 of chapter 8, the law of the Spirit. It says here, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And I said that the law of the Spirit is what? The life of, say it with me, Christ. It is Christ Jesus that is going to live through His children by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now here's the thing we've discussed. That can't happen unless you have been saved by the blood of Christ. It cannot happen unless you put your faith in what Jesus did on the cross. He died for your sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day. And when that takes place, the Holy Spirit moves in. He doesn't just become resident, although He is resident, but He is also president. He is the one in charge. He's the new boss. And we are yielding to Him. And that's what we're talking about here. There is a battle going on. Because that old flesh, the old man, he's still there. He's lost his authority. He doesn't have the authority that he had. But he's still there. And sometimes we are foolish enough to grant him that authority in our lives. He doesn't deserve it. He doesn't have it. It's not His anymore. It belongs to the Lord. But sometimes in my flesh, I yield to it. But God is so gracious to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even as God's children, we have to get right with Him daily. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But nevertheless, we see that there is a battle going on. The Spirit of God is killing those deeds and passions and sinful desires of the body, knowing that it will bring forth life. And then we get to verse 14. Notice what it says continually with the subject of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He says here in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. With God's help, this morning I want to preach a message entitled, From Slavery to Sonship. From Slavery to Sonship. The Doctrine of Adoption. The Doctrine of Adoption. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we pause at this moment to recognize that You're our sovereign King. Lord, we all come here this morning from various walks of life, with various burdens, various strongholds, various needs. And Lord, we recognize You this morning as being the only one that can meet those needs, that can break those strongholds, that can lift those burdens. And so we pause, recognizing You as our God and as our teacher. And Lord, I'm praying You would work deeply this morning within us. And I pray for those that have yet to been set free from the bondage of sin and self. God, You'd set them free this morning. God, show them that they can live with liberty, the freedom that's found only in Christ. Lord, I trust You to do it. And I confess that You're the only one that can do the teaching this morning. And so we yield to Your teaching ministry. In Jesus' name I do pray, amen. This portion of Scripture is most encouraging. It speaks of the privileges that we have as God's children. And oh, are there many. I'm telling you, enough to make a Presbyterian shout. It is so good. It is so wonderful to think upon all that God has blessed us with in Christ Jesus. Children of God here this morning, you have every right in the world to have a smile on your heart. And that will lead to your face. And that will express joy and gratitude for what God has done. And we find that as we get to this, in the midst of the battle of the flesh and the spirit, we understand that the spirit overpowers the flesh when we yield to Him. And He shows us all that we have in Christ. He shows us the victory. He shows us that which we have as privileges. The Spirit of God shows us the character of God. He shows us what we have as the children of God. And He even shows us about what our future looks like. And I want to tell you, for the child of God, the future is very bright. Don't let the doom and gloom of this world get you down, believer. Don't let it happen. God's people ought to have their heads up when it comes to knowing God has given us so much and has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And the moment that we get caught up in the doom and gloom is when we have given in to the flesh. And we, as God's people, if we're led by the Spirit of God, will not end in that type of mindset. And so what we have this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is the Holy Spirit teaching us and showing us the privileges we have as the sons and daughters of God. Now, I don't say this to be mean to anybody. I hope if you know me, you know my spirit in this. These privileges do not apply if you're an unbeliever. Now, they can apply, but you have to come first to what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1 through Romans chapter 5. Justification, by coming to God, realizing that you are a sinner that needs to be saved. Your religion won't work. Your morality won't work. Your intellect won't work. Your reasoning won't work. None of that will work. Okay? It's only you coming to God as you are with your sin and putting your faith in the gospel. And once you do that, these privileges that I'm about to announce and preach this morning, they apply to you immediately upon salvation. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to try to build up just a good report with God, and then one day you kind of get promoted to one level and then another level and then another level. No, my friend, instantaneously at the moment of salvation, all spiritual blessings that God has promised us are ours. Now, some of them we have yet to enjoy, okay? Some of them are progressive, if you will, all right? Like these bodies that you're walking around in every day. They have not been redeemed yet. We've seen that. They've not been made new, but one day they will be. Hallelujah. And we understand that. But the fact of the matter is, there are so many things that we understand, and he just covers a portion of them here. It doesn't exalt all the privileges, but I do want to deal with those that he mentions right here in the passage. So let's understand this morning the theme of this morning's message. It is the special privileges that the rest of the world knows nothing of. It only applies to the children of God. If any of these seem foreign to you, I would encourage you to do an examination of your heart this morning and to make sure that you're in Christ. Because I'm telling you, it was one preacher, B.R. Lakin, who was well known, especially in the Southern Baptist Convention. He came to think that at least half, if not more, of the Southern Baptist Church membership were ungenerated, unconverted. In other words, people that were going through the formality and the mechanics of religion. They were going through the motions of Christianity instead of having a relationship with Christ. And my friends, you don't want to be in that category. You see, the devil, the way he works is he loves religion. I don't know if you knew that or not, but the devil loves religion. Because the religions of the world have people deceived, thinking that they can be good and moral and get to heaven. Oh, that's such an outstanding person. They go to church every Sunday. They're in Sunday school. They give. But they've never humbled themselves before God Almighty and confessed that they were sinners and that they believed and rested on the gospel. The devil's happy with that crowd. He just lets them go on about their way. And God forbid, if there's anybody here at Crooked Creek Baptist, I pray and beg God over your soul that you will turn to the Lord Jesus before it's eternally too late. Do not let pride keep you from being truly born again and set free by the grace of God. But we understand that these privileges, once you do become that child of God, it is precious. Now, let me say something about adoption. Adoption in the Roman culture was rather unique, rather different from the Jewish culture, and even different from our understanding of adoption today. Adoption for the Roman culture was a very serious event. It typically took place in a family that, you know, however many children you have, you had a decision as the father. It was always the father that made the decision that when at a point in that child's life, usually when they're crossing over into adulthood in some way, the father would at some point decide who of his children he would adopt. You say his own children? Yes. It included his own children. So let me make this clear. Just because you were born in that family did not mean that you were going to be an heir of the father's possessions and the father's name. No, my friends, it was a very serious event. In fact, that the toga that the child would wear growing up was white, signifying that they were the child of that family. But at the event where the father has chosen which children, maybe all of them, maybe one of them, they would be a formality. There would be a public forum that took place. And maybe a setting, something similar is where people are gathered and they would make that transaction where that cloth of a different color would go on. And that would represent that they were now officially adopted. They were officially to be a representative of that family. And they had all rights to all the possessions that that family had. It was official. Okay, that was the type of adoption. Now, let me just say this. You as a father in that family could choose not to choose any of your children to be heirs of your possession. All right, Christian, how many children you and Miss Becky have? Six. All right. So there's six kids. So technically, of those six, he would, in a Roman culture, he would have the right, or in that way, he would have the right to not give any of those children the inheritance. And also, he could choose all of them, one of them. He also, in that Roman culture, could not choose any of them, but perhaps choose a servant of the house. He could choose anybody. He could choose a nephew. He could choose a cousin. And that father, it was a serious thing to be adopted. And basically what that meant is, again, you were going to become a representative of that family, and that everything that was that dad's and that family's was yours. All the possessions, all those things were his. So let me explain this to you about adoption in the context of God's people. When you got saved and you received Christ as your Savior, you became a child of God. But not only did you become a child of God spiritually, you became a child of God legally. And everything that God has promised His Son, Jesus Christ, God is telling us in this passage of Scripture, it is ours. As an adopted child of God, I am going to have not only the spiritual standing as a son of God and as a daughter of God for you ladies, you know, we also have that legal standing that everything that's in, that has been promised to Christ Jesus has belongs to us too. And I'll mention that here in a moment because it uses the word joint heirs with Christ. I want to tell you, that's a wonderful standing. Amen. God desires to do that for us. That's why we're so blessed, ladies and gentlemen. We're the most blessed people on earth. We're the richest people on earth. Doesn't matter what's in your bank account. If you have Christ, you have all. I've seen the poorest people in the world have the joy of Jesus Christ because they were rich in Jesus. Out there in the Sahara Desert, people didn't know if they were going to get water that day. People didn't had clothes that looked like what we use to clean up messes in our kitchen and stuff, that little area of cloth in our pantry that's just torn, old, worn rags. That's what those people wore. Holes all in it. They didn't know anything about riches. They only knew about survival. But these precious people that came to know Christ, they were the richest people in the world. And that goes for all of us that are in Christ. Hey, listen, I want to tell you, don't get sad if you don't have what the Smiths have next door. Don't get jealous or envious. If you are in Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, you got all that you could ever dream of, plus more. God's people are blessed. Notice with me, if you're taking notes, number one, according to verse 14, we have the privilege of being led by God. That's not something the world can say. We have the privilege of being led by God. For it says, therefore, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, what are they? They're the sons of God, the children of God. They belong to the Lord. What is that teaching us? Those that are in Christ have the Holy Spirit living in them, and the Spirit of God's going to lead us daily. What a beautiful privilege it is that God can lead us in this dark world. He can guide our footsteps. He can guide our thoughts and our ways as we yield to Him. And notice what it does not say. Please, don't miss this. It does not say that as many that are driven by the Lord. It doesn't say that as many that are forced by the Lord. It says as many as are led by the Lord. You see, the Holy Spirit does not influence us by force. We're not robots, ladies and gentlemen. We are people who have the ability to think and choose that God has blessed us with. And what the Holy Spirit does is He leads us. He woos us in the sense of guiding us and prompting us. It is the Spirit of God that does that. But I'll say the opposite about the devil. The devil is the driver. With the whip in hand, the cruel whip that Satan drives people in this world. I want to tell you, that's the characteristic of Satan. I like the way Spurgeon said it. He said, we are led as we cooperate with this leading. He says, it does not say in the sense of being forced, but he says, the devil is the one that's a driver. And when he enters into men, or get this illustration he gives, or into hogs, he drives them furiously. Remember how the whole herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea? And that's the way the wicked one forces people. But the Spirit of God leads us. I give you this example. When we were in the Coast Guard, when I was in the Coast Guard, what took place, I saw this often, but you know, you see it in any port. You've been out in big ports, you've seen this and witnessed this. But big ships that come into the harbor are required to stop, usually just a mile or so from entering the harbor. Sometimes maybe they can get a little closer, but they're required to have a pilot boat meet them. What is this pilot boat? Well, this pilot boat is bringing a pilot, a captain who is being brought out to the ship. He will get off the little small pilot boat, climb up the ladder or whatever, get in, and he then takes control of the ship and navigates it into the harbor. Why does he do that? Well, it's because he's most familiar with the harbor. He knows where to go. He knows the danger areas. He knows where people run aground. He knows the laws of that area. He knows where vessels are coming and going from. He knows everything about that harbor. Well, this random captain that's on the freight liner or cruise ship or whatever it may be, he can handle out at the seas, but coming into the harbor, somebody else takes over. Well, it's not a perfect illustration, but it does illustrate something here. You see, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit became my pilot. He entered my body, and He guides me in the harbor that we call life. And He guides my steps all the way when I yield to Him. He keeps me from darkness. He protects me from darkness. He corrects me when I choose darkness. And He's that pilot that will get me and navigate me safely to the harbor. And I want to tell you, that's what the Holy Spirit does for you and me every day. He leads us. Can you say that you're being led by the Spirit of God? Well, you say, what does that look like, Brinson? That seems so ambiguous. Like, okay, the Spirit leads me. Well, I'll tell you what the Spirit does. He leads His children to repentance. The ladies sang so sweetly here and just so honorably of the Lord's, just crying out to His church and to His children, return unto me. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Some of you here this morning, you're away from God. You're away from Him. And if you're His child, the Holy Spirit is saying, child, return unto me. Where you're going is hardness. Where you're going is destruction and devastation. Hey, I want to lead you into righteousness. I want to lead you into victory. Even through toughness and through affliction, God's Spirit will lead us. Some of you are going through trials right now. You don't know what to do. Some of you are experiencing things where it's like, I don't know how this is going to work out. Well, I'll tell you, I got great news for you. The Holy Spirit is there. He's going to navigate you through this. As many as are the children, the sons of God, as many as that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see, I don't have time to go to it, but would you note this in your notes there? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. It talks about how God's people can only spiritually discern the voice of God. The Spirit of God is the one that's going to teach us and lead us. Do you hear God's Spirit leading you? Does He lead you to repentance? Does He lead you to the Christ life? Is He leading you into truth and love and holiness? Is He leading you to be servants of God, to be useful? Is He leading you to be compassionate and to be selfless? Those are the things that the Holy Spirit leads us in as we yield to Him. Number two, if you're taking notes, we have the privilege of not only being led by God, but we have the privilege of being adopted by God. I've already explained that. It is to be those children who will perpetuate the name of God and inherit His estate, the spiritual blessings that He has given us in Christ Jesus. I no longer have the old life as my master. I don't have that anymore. I have a new master. You know, and again, I went from slavery to the bondage of sin to sonship. A child of God. Think upon that title. Can you improve on that title? I mean, can you? Can you improve on the title of being a child of God? I don't believe you can, brethren. It's a wonderful, wonderful title. I mean, I'm thankful to be a Jennings. I'm so thankful for the life God gave me and the things I experienced growing up in the Jennings family. I got wonderful privileges of growing up, going camping and going to the lake, and the privilege of having a family that had get-togethers and things like that. And I have privileges that I could mention that I had. But I also grew up just like you did. I grew up people that were broken. People that were fallible. People that fell short. I mean, we all can relate in some way to those truths. But I'm telling you, brethren, when I got adopted by God, I became a son of a perfect family, a perfect father, a perfect Savior, the perfect Spirit of God, the great three in one. That's my family. And though I am falling short, even as a child of God today, and I have not arrived. But thank God the Holy Spirit is leading me to help me understand that I am now a representative of the family of God. Yes, I represent the Jennings. But more so, I represent the family of God. I've told my children recently, and just working through situations, I say, look, we as Jennings, we don't do that. We're not going to talk that way. We're not going to act that way. That's not who we are. We're going to be loving. We're going to be kind. We're going to be gracious. But I said, more important than the Jennings don't do that, I'm going to tell you, God's children don't do that. God's children don't act that way. And the Holy Spirit will constantly guide us and show us that very thing. How we ought to act as children of God. You see, we have the awesome, awesome honor and privilege. But with that honor and privilege comes an expectation for us to fulfill the desires of my Father. I'm sorry, but you have a group of people that often will say, hey, I got my way to heaven. I mean, I've believed on the Lord. I'm just going to live on the way I want to. Let me tell you something, friend, and I'm going to say this as kindly as I can. It doesn't work that way. When you become born again, you bought by the blood of Jesus, you become an adopted child of God, and you have some expectations of the Father to fulfill. You're representing the family of God. You're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You are a hope to a lost and dying world. It does matter the way you live. It does matter the way you talk. It does matter the way you think. And my friends, the moment that you think as a child of God that you can go through life thinking, hey, I can just live the way I want to, you totally have missed the understanding of being an adopted child of God. You're a representative, friend, and I am. And we fall short, don't we? Yes, we do. But you know what the Holy Spirit always leads us to do? Thank God, He always leads us back to Jesus. Hey, you know, I know some of you have struggled with this, and I've even struggled with it before, some more than others. But I want to tell you a difference between Satan's conviction and the Holy Spirit's conviction. Now, please get this. Now, remember, one of the names of Satan is the accuser, the slanderer, okay? The wicked one. When you and I sin as God's children, this is what will happen when Satan comes after us. You filthy individual. You can't be saved. You're not a Christian. You're worthless. You might as well give it up. You're a hypocrite. He will slander us and accuse us. That's the wicked one's conviction. Now let me give you the Holy Spirit's conviction when we sin. Now, child, you know that doesn't represent the Father. Come. Come to the Lord. Confess that sin. That's what it is. It's sin. But that's not who we are. We don't do that. That shouldn't be the child of God's actions and words. Confess that to the Lord. He will forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He'll restore you. And the Holy Spirit leads that way. He says, child, that's not right. Let's get that right. He doesn't accuse us. The Holy Spirit does not accuse. Can you say amen? He's not a slanderer. But I will tell you this, He will not leave us alone when we sin. He will confront us, but it will be for the purpose of us getting right with God. It will be for the purpose of confession, for the purpose of cleansing, for the purpose of His control. Because when we get that right, then He's back in control, and then we are being true representatives because the life of Christ is being lived out. And that's what the Spirit of God will do as adopted children. But my friends, you can be moral, you can go through the motions, you can be all of those things, but I'm telling you right now, you can say I'm doing all this, but you can also be without the Holy Spirit. Because you know if you have Him or not. When somebody moves in your house, you know it, don't you? You know it. When God moved in, you know it. And it says, as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We're adopted. And then number three, and I'm going to close with this one. Number three, notice with me, we have the privilege of having access to God. Notice verse 15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Pause. Mark it down, church. The old life was a life of bondage. It was a life of fear. It was a life of captivity. It's a life that is all wrapped up in sin. It might be the sin of moral relativism. It might be the sin of open neglect of who God is. Nevertheless, it does not matter. There is a bondage there. But when I came to Christ, the Bible says, notice, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I love this. This is the privilege of having full access to God. Hey, listen. If I tried to get a hold of the White House today and wanted to have a meeting with President Biden to express my concerns and my griefs with some of the things that are taking place up there, or if there was just something, if I just wanted to tell him I was praying for him, it doesn't matter. You can say anything. But if I had to do that, how long do you think it would take me to get access to his office to express whatever I wanted to say? If I could do it, it would take a long time. I would have to go through all kinds of procedures, formalities, steps, security. I mean, I would have to be approved by so many before I could even think about getting there. I don't even think I could get a letter to that man. Maybe to some staff, maybe to some people. I couldn't get a telephone call to him. I couldn't get a letter, a text. I couldn't get anything to him because of all the ways he has protected around himself. And now listen, that's the President of the United States. But I could use that illustration about any earthly king, any earthly governor. It's hard to get access to them. But I want to tell you something about the King of Kings. I want to say something about the Lord of Lords this morning, the Creator of the universe. He has given His children direct access. That's why Hebrews tells us in chapter 4, verse number 16, I believe it is. Therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. That's God's children. Doesn't apply to anybody else in the world, but you and me, we can come boldly, not timidly. Oh, my friends, we come with confidence, and not only that, we come anytime. You don't have to have a certain time to go meet with God. There are religions that teach that. And in order to pray to God, you've got to be in a certain stance. To pray to God, you've got to be at a certain building. To pray to God, you've got to be in a certain clothing. To pray to God, you've got to have a certain a necklace or jewelry. To pray to God, you've got to do this and do that. To pray to God, you've got to have a certain person with you. You have to have a certain priest. You have to have this and that and that. But I want to tell you what the Bible says, whereby them that are God's can cry at any time, Abba, Father. And that's a very intimate name there. The Abba is Aramaic, and it is a very close relation there. It's a daddy. Daddy. Dad. My heavenly dad. My dad that is perfect. My dad that cares. My dad that's present and ready to listen to me at any time. I come to him as I am. That's my father. And that's your father if you know him. As God's adopted children, we don't have to knock on any doors. We don't have to get any permission. We do not have to go through any procedures. We simply come in the name of Jesus. Oh yes, my friend. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. But we come through Him and we come boldly. I don't know what you're dealing with today, friend, but I encourage you that you have full access to the Father's ear, to the Father's heart. He has you in mind. You have His full attention, child. Spill your heart out to Him. We talked about it on Wednesday night, about the complaints of God's people. Listen, do you know when it comes to just being critical and complaining in general, that's sin. But do you know that we do have a liberty, as we talked about after the service with a couple of us, we do have liberty to go to the throne of grace with our complaints. Yeah. God gives His children that right to come and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on here. God, please help me. Show me your way here. Intervene on this. Lord, I need you. It's used two other times in Scripture. It's used to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, He uttered those words in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Abba, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. If it be possible, let the cup pass. But nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. That was the word he used, Abba, Father. We also see it in Galatians. It's used in chapter 4. Oh, brethren, we think upon the great, wonderful doctrine of going from slavery to sin to sonship to God Almighty. Be encouraged. I have several more I want to mention here, but I want to leave it at this. Where are you, friend? Have you been adopted? Do you know that you know that you know that your sins have been forgiven for all eternity? If you know that, praise God. Do you know then of your privileges of the Father? The privilege of being led by the Holy Spirit and being adopted and the access that you have? I'm telling you, friend, it only gets better. But perhaps you're here today and you said, I don't know, Pastor. I don't know where I'm going when I die. And I'm tired of battling with this fear. Even if it's a little one. Even if it's just the tip of my fingernail size in your heart and mind wondering, am I really saved? Listen, I'm telling you, get it settled. Because the Holy Spirit is not playing games with anybody. He will assure you of His salvation. If you need to get assurance, get it. God will help you with that. Most Christians struggle with their assurance of salvation at some point in their life. But I'm saying you need to get that settled. Don't play with it. And let God have His way. You'll never regret it. Today, perhaps, you need to get it settled and say, Almighty God, I'm coming as much as I know how and putting my faith in the gospel. And if that's you today, I'd encourage you to do it. Would you bow your heads with me?